What's up, everybody? It's Chad. I'm back again with another episode of Ask Chad Grassy Logic. I'm here with my buddy Blake, and we're going to be talking about a couple of conversations today, so thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course, man. You know, it's always great to have, new guests in every week, so, it's great to have, someone from the industry, especially from your side and everything, to come in, because I like having that perspective.
Of course.
Thank you again for joining me today. We have a couple of good conversations to talk about. One thing popped up right before the show started, so I'll get you guys that information at the end of the show. So without further ado, let's get started with today's episode. So thank you for joining me again, man. Why don't you just tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
My name's Blake. I'm born and raised here in Las Cruces, so I'm a hometown kid. I'm from an agriculture background, born and raised on a farm, in Mesilla Park, vegetables, pecans, stuff like that. So really, heavy on the agriculture background. Grew up playing sports here, went to Cruces High, all that good stuff. And I just stayed here in town after I graduated, just stayed here in town. Was always, interested in cannabis and, of course, partaked in high school and whatnot. And, just as I got older, started taking it more seriously, stayed here in town, worked for a family company, till about my mid-20s, and then started, focusing on myself and doing other things and started branching out and whatnot. So, but just never left Cruces. I like Cruces. I didn't really want to venture out. It's becoming bigger and bigger. So, I feel comfortable here and, there's a lot of opportunities coming to this city and the state now. So,
yeah. And, Cruces has really been expanding, especially if you look north of town, that's where mostly the city is actually expanding. You have the NASA employees over there. You have the Virgin Galactic employees over there. Of course, Wyson Missile Range is in that direction. So you have all those military people that live there too. Yes. They're off post. So yeah, the Cruces is getting a lot bigger. There's a lot more coming here. Yes. Not just cannabis, the Virgin Galactic thing was really big for us.
It was really good.
We'll see where that goes for the future. As you guys know, they stopped operations, I think, for the next 2 years while they're building another spaceship. I'm a big nerd. I love space. So, of course I was going to pay attention to that.
Right.
It was really cool. I actually got to see the first launch.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. The first launch. I was heading down from Albuquerque and I was like, just take a detour.
Yeah, why not?
I'll go check it out. And by the time I got there, you could see it flying in. It was when they were landing. That's cool.
Been sick.
Yeah. I got to see it pausing for a little bit because you could barely see it.
Yes.
And then you see it come down and I finally got to see it land. But it was wild.
That would have been sick, yeah.
It's
an actual spaceship. It's not aircraft, it's a spaceship.
So yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was, And then there was a guy that brought a couch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he brought a couch from his house. There? Yeah, he had like a horse trailer. And he had put it in his horse trailer. People were parked out because we weren't allowed to actually go to the facility like where they were. It was like VIP or whatever.
Yes.
So all the peasants, we had to stay outside and stay by the road and everything and watch it from there. So that was really interesting. So
it would have been cool to see though. Yeah, especially like I said, the come in, the whatever they call it, coming back in, the
landing. Yes, yeah, the approach. Yeah, and everything.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the movie industry. That's something really been big in Cruces. I think they get another 2% on the tax incentives.
Yes.
In Cruces, so that's bringing more movies in. Actually, I think Sines Gorditas was closed yesterday.
Wow.
Because they were filming a movie over there.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, yeah, I worked in Mesilla at a dispensary down there. That was my first one, and they would have, I think, 3 movie sets we saw while I was there, and
just last year, like 5 houses from my house was a movie.
Yeah, there you go. See, and they like this rustic look, and especially in Mesilla, in the square, they love, there's always movie sets being set up there. So it is, it's good for the state. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Well, I guess we bored you guys enough to talk about Cruces. So, let's talk about you again. How long have you been in the industry for?
So officially, a little over a year.
Right? Okay, a little over a year.
A little over a year. Last March, I started, like I said, my first dispensary was down in Mesilla, Cannabis Tropical. That is now, I believe, Green Street.
It's new owners.
Yes, new owners. Judah's my man. Honestly, I'm glad that was my first opportunity. He gave me a shot. Of course, it's really hard to get in the industry. I hate to say it, but honestly, it's kind of who you know, not what you know.
Yeah.
It's like, or it's 50-50, but you really need to know people in this industry to get in. And he taught me and trained me very well. He taught me on BioTrack. It was just me and him. If you know him and know how he ran a shop, he was there from open to close. Didn't have very many employees. If he did, they'd just come and go, just helping and whatnot. But I was there for about 6 months. from March to October. And I really enjoyed that experience. He taught me well, how to treat customers, taught me all the systems, the products, introduced me to some people, you know, with the industry.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just a better opportunity came and I went to Premier High Life and I was a company manager there for about, you know, that was a short time for about 4 or 5 months. And then just a lot of shady stuff happened with the landlords that we were working with. So yes, so that's in limbo, you know what I'm saying? So that, that's when I was, you know, looking for a new company. And then I ran into or got a good opportunity with Black's House. I just put out resumes and I think they were my last spot. I dropped off my resume that one day. I dropped off 7. I had 7 printed out and got called back the next day and got hired the next day after that. So
cool.
It was really, you know, your experience matters too, you know. So it's all my experience. I was, you know, manager at Cannabis Tropical, manager at a Premier High Life. So they call me in, they're like, you know, what are you looking for? I said, anything. I'm ready to take production, bud tender. And they're like, well, we have like a bud tender shift lead. I was like, I'll take it. Yeah. I don't care. Even if I'm stepping back and, you know, it's, titles don't mean nothing to me. You know what I'm saying? I'll work my way up and I'll get to where I want to be. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So it's been a little over a year and I've always been, like I said, in high school, you know, of course, messed around with it in high school. And but like I said, in my early 20s, you know, I started consuming it as medicine, you know what I'm saying? Actually saw the benefits. I was on pain pills. I have a bulging disc, pinched nerve at the same spot. I think it's called a protrusion extrusion. So, you know, I was, that helped me get off the pills, you know what I'm saying? And it really did. It really helped transition me. So that's when I became like serious about it as a medicine. And so for about, I'm 33 now, so about 13 years, I've really been not an advocate, but a connoisseur, and really do believe it to be a medicine.
Yeah.
Really do.
Yeah.
So I've seen its benefits firsthand. I've seen it change my life, seen it change other people's lives. So I really enjoy being in this industry. I'm not just a pothead, you know what I'm saying? And I really do enjoy doing what I do and helping people find their medicine.
Yeah. You know? So you've had your cannabis card for quite a while then.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's on and off since 2010 was my first card, or I believe, if I go back and look. Yes,
yeah.
It was my first card. And but back then, I'm sure you know, it was here was what, 1 or 2 places, and it wasn't up to par back then, I hate to say, but you know, we were very new back then. We still are new. Mm-hmm. So, but thank God it has really, the past, I would say 3-4 years have really been putting out some good quality medicine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had my card for a while. I was actually one of the youngest back then. I was like 20 something. So I was like, you know, one of the youngest people to actually be in the, I think I was 20 to be in the system, you know, a few 18-year-olds, a few 16-year-olds, of mm-hmm. course, you know, with their parents' consent. But yeah, so I've been in it for a while. I've seen it progress.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
So. No, 2010, you know, I didn't get my card to 2013. So okay. You've actually been around in the industry longer than I have.
Okay.
Wow. So yeah, especially here in New Mexico, because I was jumping around doing some contracting and stuff after I got out of the military.
I've always been here, but yeah.
So that's pretty cool, man. You know, that you have, you know, that history and those facts. Cause yeah, I was told, you know, before 2013, when I got here, that, you know, the way things were, blah, blah, blah. Cause by the time I got my card, there were a couple of dispensaries, but not many, you know, and I was living in Alamogordo. So the only place I could go to was Rio Doso.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Without like a border check or anything.
Yes. I don't know. I can't remember the name of it, but yes, it was a decent one.
Compassionate people. Distributors.
There you go. Yeah, Compassionate. The name of it. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember them. Yep.
Yeah. A whole controversy around that whole thing. I won't get into that.
early days. Hey, it's the early days.
Yeah. Early days. That's back in the medical days. Yes. When we had no clue what was going on. Actually, yes. There was no testing. Back in the early days, like they didn't have, there was an requirement for the producers to test the cannabis. Testing in New Mexico is actually fairly new.
Yes.
Like
that's what people don't understand. People that are either new to the industry or just like a patient or not like, you know, into all the, you know, fine print and whatnot, you know, they don't know that testing is only legitimate testing, maybe 5 years, maybe a little bit more than
eight, 5 years.
You know,
yeah.
Not even 10 years. So,
So we're not even hitting 8 years. So, that's why I stress it so much about testing, because we never had it really. So we need it. And the fact that we have it here, and you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. So we'll figure it out one day, but you know, that's, you know, history. So what did you do before you got into the industry?
So, like I said, I worked for my family business. We actually owned Air Hydraulics right down the street since the 70s. My grandpa started it, and we owned it for about 48 years, I believe. We closed in 2016. And it was a farm implement business, you know, hoses, fittings, stuff like that for the for tractors and semi-trucks and stuff like that. So we just decided to close that, sold the building, and we in hindsight, I actually told my, you know, parents, grandparents, we should keep it and rent the building now. I, you know, being in the industry, I said we could rent this building potentially in the future to a dispensary.
Yeah.
And it's big enough, you know, someone would put a lounge, production, something in there too. But, you know, they wanted the money up front. They didn't want to do the maintenance with it. So, you know, whatever. It is what it is. So then I actually started doing vintage reselling.
Okay.
In 2019.
Yeah.
2019 became and, you know, started as just a hobby. I actually didn't think it was going to become anything. I thought it was a joke, you know, honestly. But man, I got into it, got into the culture, still am. And I honestly made a big name for myself down here. Met a lot of really big people. I don't know if you know Slobby Robbie. He's, if you're not into vintage, you know, he's, you know, nobody, but if you're a vintage head or into vintage, you know him. He is big. He owns Generation Cool in Tucson. He became like my mentor in a sense. You know, I met him, he saw my potential, saw my inventory. I became like a wholesaler to him. He'd buy, you know, big bundles at a time, traveled with him, went to shows with him. You know, people knew me as, you know, his little buddy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like I said, got into made really good money doing that. It was during the COVID times too, you know, so it was something that I could do. It did hurt us a little bit because in the beginning we couldn't have gatherings, big gatherings.
You couldn't travel either.
Exactly. Yeah. So we had to, that's when it became big on Instagram. That's when we started doing those Instagram lives, you know, selling and whatnot. And then Depop came along. And so then, just I kind of phased out. I just always wanted to be in the cannabis industry. That is my true passion. Vintage was is still a passion, but like I said, my true passion is the cannabis industry. I've always wanted to be in it. I just truly believe in it. As like I said, a medicine, it helps people. It's just something I truly am passionate about. You know, it's just something that I slowly but surely, like I said, I had to pick one or the other. You know, I had to put everything into one or the other. I'm either traveling, looking for inventory, doing this, or, you know, I have to do this, you know. So I just stopped and, like I said, because I got an opportunity to go in there with Judah. And so I just took it, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what I was doing right before cannabis was vintage reselling. That's actually how I met Rob, Jed, and Andrew. Dabro, he was just on last week, wasn't he?
The week before, ago. I believe, a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
So it's actually how I met them at the show. They went there to a grand opening of a vintage and shoe store, and that's he was there.
Sounds about right.
That's how I met him, and then they came, or that's how I met Slobby, and they came, and we all met, and you know they saw you know my inventory. They became like customers. We hung out and. Of course, they taught me the art of rolling. Of course, you know you can't hang around those guys without being taught rolling and about good quality products. So that's what actually got me them. They got me into thinking about quality. You know, about actually good quality products. That there is a standard. There is a level of, like I said, what people think is fire is not always fire. You know, like what they're saying. So, but yeah, so that's actually how I met them was. Through vintage reselling.
That's pretty cool. You know, that's a cool little story, you know, that I like to ask people, you know, what their background was before, because, you know, you wouldn't believe how many different industries people came from before they got into cannabis.
Yes.
You know, like this is the first time you're hearing someone coming from like a vintage background.
Right, yeah.
So that's really interesting. Yeah. Of course you have the common one where people come from medical backgrounds. You have some that come from marketing backgrounds.
Agriculture backgrounds.
Agriculture, that's one of the number one that I've heard is agriculture backgrounds.
Like I said, coming from agriculture, we see, being neighbors with, you know, farms, land, you know what I'm saying? We've seen the transition. We've seen hoop houses coming up, and my dad's like, "Oh, I wonder what they're putting in there."
Yeah, and the thing that blows my mind are the farmers that decide to grow cannabis, and then certain ones have neighbors, and the neighbors are upset that the farmer decided to change his crop.
Yes.
And I'm like, "You moved next to the farmer, not the other way around." Like,
yes.
So if the farmer decides to grow whatever, that's his land. That's
even if you are established, like we are, like we've been there. Shit, my family saying since the 50s, and let's say you know. Even if our neighbor, they want to change their crops, my dad's not going to, turn his nose to it because he knows that's we make money off of our crops. You know what I'm saying? And if you want to, instead of pecans, you want to grow marijuana, I don't know. Pecans are very lucrative. You know, I haven't grown the two, but I would think marijuana is more lucrative. But you know what I'm saying? I don't see why anyone would get mad at that. Like I said, you're bettering your family, it's your choice, and it's a legitimate crop nowadays.
A legitimate industry, you know. Yes. Like people, you know, argue about the smell, this and that, but you know how many times I've argued about cow shit smells, and I get told that's the smell of money.
Shit
or oil. Mm-hmm. You know, petroleum or oil. You go to Hobbs, New Mexico, on the way there you're smelling oil almost about quarter way of the drive.
And we have to pass to get to our farm, we pass Desert Peaks. I don't know if we're good, so we pass that facility, and of course during certain phases of the grow, you smell it out by the road. My dad says that same thing. He smells like money, you know, because he understands that's money. Like you said, it's a crop, and he was very stigmatized, especially when growing up, when I was in high school, he found out, oh, you don't smoke that shit. You know, like a lot of these old school farmers down here are, they're very stigmatized and especially his age group, you know, the 60-year-olds, you know, the baby boomers, you know.
And what's crazy is they're the largest users of cannabis. Yes. They're the largest group who uses cannabis. Yes. It blows my mind.
But they're
also the largest group who's, like, still brainwashed from, you know, Reefer Madness era.
Yes.
It's an interesting thing because you have just pollers. You have, like, the ones that are like, oh, yeah, I use cannabis all the time. I grow it in my backyard.
Yes.
You have the other ones that are in the same age group. They're like, oh, that will kill you, and then it'll turn you into a zombie, and then you'll be a zombie Godzilla or something weird.
That's like my dad said. He goes, I smoked it one time, and it was laced, son. That crystal shit, that shiny shit that's on there, it's drugs, son. I'm telling you. I'm just like, oh, man. And then now, like, because I educated him as I grew up and, you know, came out of his household and, hey, Dad, this is what it is. You know, I'm my own person, and was able to show him, educate him a little bit. He didn't like it, but now as it became legal and more legal and more legal, and then I was in the industry, and he sees me being, you know, and other people that he knows being a productive citizen. It hasn't changed me for the worse. You know, it's helped me. So he's very open to it now. If you smoke it, you do it, and you get your shit done. It doesn't matter. Just don't smoke it around him. You can go smoke it around him, but don't be smoking it next to him. You know what I'm saying? Go do your shit, come back and keep it out of my eyes. You know, he don't care. You know, so now it's just like, that's how he is now. And I'm glad that, you know, he has changed his ways of thinking. Cause my mom's the total opposite. She partakes everything. You know? So not everything, but she partakes and, enjoys it and thinks of it as medicine as well.
Yeah.
So.
And that's how my family sees it too. You know, my dad's been, I've been helping him grow for the past few years. And when I first started on this journey, he was very weary, scared about losing his teaching job, and that. But by about the last six, maybe about 7 years, he was a teacher. He actually had his medical cannabis card for those last few years. So, you know, it changed night and day. Now he's retired and grows every year.
Oh,
like,
see?
Hey, son, look at these plants. And, you know,
and it's weird to be like, so that's the kind of same way to actually talk to my dad about cannabis now. So it's, but it's cool, like I said, because he is open to it. He actually, he's like, how much tips you get? I said, well, I make it easy, around 20 to 40 bucks. And he goes, and like we're talking about it, and he goes, I understand. He goes, you deserve more tips, son. You know, shit, just by how you're talking to me and telling me, he goes, you deserve more tips. And I was like, hey, but that's what we get tipped for, is our knowledge.
Yeah.
As a bud tender, as someone that's, that's what we're being tipped for, is, I mean, I see it, like, because that's when I do get a bigger tip or a nicer tip, is when I do educate somebody or spend my time with somebody and give them exactly what they're looking for, and or teach them something new. That's when I do see the tip be bigger. So they actually enjoy being dealt with and spent time with and educated. So
that's what I try to do in with every customer. Spend my time with them and give them what they need.
Yeah.
Because it is medicine.
And that's one reason why I wanted to have someone like you on here. I like having, you know, the bud tenders, the boots on the ground.
Right.
You know, the people who know exactly what's going on in the industry, what the trends are.
True.
Yeah, you know, because you guys know exactly what trends are going because you see it from the customers and the customers tell you what trends there are.
Yes.
You don't make the trends. You guys just recognize them, which is great. And it's a great tool to have. And it's unfortunate that certain owners in this industry, they don't rely on their bud tenders as much as they should. And they don't, you know, really cater to
value their
bud
tenders. Honestly.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. You know, like they pay them like crap. They try to take the tips.
Yes.
You know, this and that. They treat them almost like, you know, an opposition.
Versus
like, you know, someone who's a very huge asset to your team. If you could, if certain people could see that, how much of an asset a bud tender is, it would blow your mind. They would pay the money to get them more educated.
Yes.
Because that in return turns into money.
Oh, wait, it's repeat customers, it's word of mouth, hey, go there, he's exactly just like you said, it's going to turn into more money.
There's a reason why, you know, a few businesses in the state make over $1 million a month. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's customer service, it's the quality of product that they have, it's everything for, you know, something for everybody, et cetera, list goes down, the check marks are going off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's great to, you know, have you on here because you can just, you know, tell it how it is, you
exactly.
know, especially from that bounce. So let's talk about that a little bit more. You know, you've been working at Wax House and everything. How has the landscape for you changed from there to other places? Are you kind of like able to educate a little bit more?
I've always been educated in everything from, you know, flower to concentrates to edibles, you know, of course, you know, as a bud tender, like you said, it's, we need to, like, we don't create the trends, but we need to, as it's always been my hobby anyway, so I've always been up with the trends. I've always been following, I've always been seeing, I always know what's coming up next. I'm always on top of things. So as a bud tender, I just transitioned that as okay, now it's my job. So we have to, a good bud tender needs to be on top of those things. It needs to be educated and be on top of those trends and not just see it as a, I'm standing behind a register. I'm just watching the register, you know, because there are some bud tenders that, I'm sorry to say that, not just some, there's a lot of bud tenders that are just that. They're not very educated, they're nice, they may know customer service, but they're just there to sell products. You know, they're not really there to educate or like try and go up and beyond.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've always tried to do. I wanna be treated and educate. I want to treat them and educate them like I would want to be treated and educated. Because I run into bud tenders, like total opposites, good and bad. And it's like, I want this experience. So I'm going to give this experience as well. And from other places, I really enjoy the, I love everywhere I worked at. But at Wax House, it's a very, they let us really just run the place, honestly, as even a bud tender, you know, like I said, it's like a shift lead bud tender, and then we have another guy that's like a straight bud tender, and then we have our store manager. But all of us are like on the same tier, you know, when it comes to closing and opening, you know, when it comes to keys. So they really treat us, like I said, good there. They, just like you said, they want good bud tenders. When it comes to hiring, they don't just put anyone behind there. You know, they've looked, they vet, they call people in. I've seen, you know, they do multiple interviews for the same position, you know. And so when it came to me, you know, they saw my experience and they're like, well, you know, all we have is a bud. They didn't think I was going to take a bud tender or like that kind of position. I was like, absolutely, I would take it. Because like I said, I want to grow with the company, and this is a fresh new company. We've only been open 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So I was hired their second week. So I'm the first round of hires. You know what I'm saying? So, our opinion matters there. You know, we always, the owners tell us, don't ever think your opinion doesn't matter. If there's anything you need, if you're uncomfortable, if you need anything, whatever we need to make us feel comfortable at work, they're going to provide it. And if the working environment there is just great. Like I said, we're on the same page with each other. We all respect each other. The owners treat us very good. They're there daily. So it's like we're all, like I said, we all mingle together on the daily, you know. So I really like working there. Like, it's a very good environment. I've learned a lot about concentrates, obviously, you know, Wax House being Wax House. So it's been a good experience, very good experience so far. So, and like I said, I am excited to grow and see what other opportunities that there are there, because they've told me, you know, they see good things for me there. You know, they hired me to be more than just a bud tender. They want me to be more, and so like I said, I'm excited to grow with this company because they're a very, very good company. And I don't know if you knew, but we own Roundhouse. Roundhouse and Wax House, same company, same owners, just sister stores.
Okay. So, are they from New Mexico, the owners?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I actually went to school with one of the owners, Jordan Barber. He's the owner, Matoniate. He's a year actually younger than me. Mm-hmm. So I'm 33, he's 32. He's very successful. He's been in real estate since out of college. He was actually in the CBD industry before and just transitioned when once became legal, and then he went partners with our with the other owner of ours and brought him in when it became legal and started it. And like I said, they've been in it since I don't remember how long, but I think 10 years now. I think they've been in it for about 10 years and have a lot of connections, good connections, and they also rolls over to our prices that we get. That's why our prices are like a really good there. And
yeah, let's talk about Wax House for a little bit. You know, like what's the niche and everything? And yeah, let's talk about the prices. Yeah. And you know, what do you guys really offer?
So as for the name like Wax, like with yeah, name yeah. like Wax House,
I can only assume with the name like that. Yeah,
we concentrate on concentrates.
Yeah,
our niche is concentrates. We got a big selection of rosin, BHO, diamonds. You know. Whatever concentrate that you, besides shatter, we haven't really, there's not a lot of shatter going around in the industry. I mean, good shatter, I would say. I've seen it from a couple companies, but.
The industry's in a weird transitional
phase. Yeah, right it's now, weird. Yeah. So yeah. Everything's going to rosin, solventless, live mm-hmm. resin. It's a lot of that right now. So we offer $40 grams starting, and that's Animus. And I don't know if you know about Animus. From the last year to this year, they have made a great, I mean, I'm sure you know about them. They have made a, day and night change. They are doing so much better. All their product is flying off the shelves. I love it. Customers love it. Other producers, other wax producers, I mean rosin producers, are, come in and actually buy their product and are smoking it for their head stash mm-hmm. because it's good. So we do 40 gram, 3 for $100. That's our everyday prices. And then we got frozen from Urban. That goes for 45 a gram. We have that at 20% off right now. So I think it goes 45, and that's 120 for three. And then our BHO deals are 20 a gram, 3 for $55, and that's Animus products as well. And then we got $15 a gram, the company's THC extracts. And don't let that price fool you. It is, they have put out some very good stuff. Brand new company. We just started carrying them last week, and they are flying off the shelves. People are loving that quality. We got baller jars in from them, 3.5 for $40, 5 grams for $55. So that's kind of our deal. The more you buy, the more you save. Our prices are already good, but the more you buy, the better it gets.
Yeah.
So that's like our niche, though. It's low prices, but even better when you buy more.
Yeah.
When you buy in bulk. So we're like Sam's Club.
Yeah.
And that's like our whole model. Our model is, even when you walk in, it's a different look, different setup. We got display cases all around. We got a bud bar. It's not just come up to the display case. Tell me what you want. It's right behind me, and I'll show it to you. No, you can actually go up to different display cases around the shop, look, see it, and then you know tell me what you want. If you want to smell it, I can get it from the fridge. Of course, we have testers, so we don't open all the fresh ones. We have testers to let you smell and. Whatnot, and if it's in the case, if it's the last one and it's in the case, you get 20% off the display just for it being open. So we try to cater to the medical patients.
Yeah,
you we get 10% off everything, no matter what, every purchase, every day, and then first times you get 10%, but just being medical, you get automatically 10% every time that you walk in the door. And then so it's just if you're medical, you're really saving a lot there.
Oh, you save 20% off the bat.
Yes,
you know, right, like there. Right off the bat, yes, you save 20%
the tax.
Yeah, as soon as you walk in the door.
And then you're saving an extra 10 with us.
Stack
just for being. And if you're rec, you can also stack your. If you're industry, boom, your first time, boom, that's 20% right there. You get 10% first time, 10% industry. And if you're medical, 10%, so that's 30% right there. And so
you guys offer veteran discounts?
Yes, we do.
Awesome.
Veteran, senior, college, first time, everything. So yeah, like I said, we don't just cater to, cater to medical, but medical really does get a great deal there. You know, they, that's what, and that's what you should, you know, you're medical for a reason. You paid for that, for that license. So,
and you know, some of you may not know this, you actually get higher dosages on the edible side if you're a medical cannabis patient.
Yes.
I've seen up to 1,000 milligrams in certain places.
Now
they're coming up with 1,000, which is great because medical cannabis patients, some reason, tend to use more cannabis than other people. Why? Probably because we need it. You know, and there's people who do use it for like pain. You have the cancer patients, et cetera, et cetera. So they do have to use higher dosages, et cetera, and all that. So that's great that you guys have that. So your inventory is mostly extracts, and then you guys have flour and edibles and stuff. Okay, so you have a little bit of everything, but it's just mostly.
Yeah, so right now we carry, so Roundhouse carries, like you said, Roundhouse is going to be the majority of the flour. And then they'll send people to us for the extracts, and if they want like higher end flower, like we got Lucky Cultivation, P37, we carry like, you know, the little better farms than, but still at a great price. We offer it at 80 a half, 150 for the full. And that's, like I said, P37, Lucky Cultivation, and that's their, what, like whatever strains that they're putting out at the time. We had Garlic Storm from Lucky Cultivation, that's a really good one. What else do we have? Animal Mints from Lucky Cultivation. Whiplash, his Oreos, I believe, and then we had the Tropical Runts from P37 that took second place for his best sativa hybrid at the High Times Cannabis Cup last year.
Cool. Congrats to them.
That's really, that's fire, and it is some fire stuff. And like I said, we have given it to you for the best prices in town. We for 150 full. Usually, you can't find Lucky or P37 for under 200 an ounce.
Yeah,
you know, so. People are really happy with the quality and the prices that that we're giving them. We don't do a lot of advertising. What we want, we don't even have Instagram. It's all word of mouth.
Everything I tried to look. I couldn't find you guys' Instagram.
He is going to start one, but it said we want word of mouth right now. You know, we want that word of mouth, and that's, you know, I'm there 5 days a week, so I see new customers every day. I'm seeing the growth. I'm seeing, you know, the cash outs bigger and bigger at night, or when we cash out during our shifts. You know, it's just it's constantly growing. You know, we're getting people from other dispensaries, of course, coming to check us out, and they're becoming regulars. You know, you know, but it's just because we have a great selection at great prices. That's just our whole model, and you know, he's built his reputation and these relationships with these companies, and so they honor their deal that they make. They give us player prices and don't, you know, shoot themselves in the foot, you know, by giving it to other dispensaries. So we do have better prices than we will be able to beat anybody's prices if they have the same product, no matter what. So because of that, so Jordan's done a good job of solidifying good friendships and relationships in this industry. So that's shown with his prices and the products that he gets. So
And I've looked at the price, you know, your guys' sales, you know, it goes from the first month and, you know, it didn't look great, but then, you know, the second month just
we're doing awesome this month. Like I said, from the first month, it was slow, but now it's like we're steady, constantly steady.
It's good.
And we're constantly growing, and we're, like you said, 420 is coming up, so that's going to be a big deal for us. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of new customers through the door then. We're planning to have all hands on deck, so.
Yeah, and 420 is an important time, and while we're on that, you know, what's some advice you can give people for the holiday? You know, like, you know, they're going to be consuming. What are some safety, you know, kind of things you can give them? Like, you know, don't smoke and drive, don't eat an edible if you're going to be good to drive.
You know your limits, honestly. Just know your limits. Like, someone like us, we can smoke all day long and be okay. We can eat edibles all day long and be okay. So you just got to know your limits, you know. And honestly, of course, people want to test their limits on 420. If you do that, just stay at home and sesh with the boys. Or, you know, just get together and have a little sesh and chill. And if someone needs to make the munchie run, that's got to be the high tolerance guy. You know what I'm saying? That's got to be like someone like us. And okay, we got it. Or make sure the munchies are there. Order some pizza, like whatever. Just stay at home. You know what I'm saying? And smoking and driving is the big one, because, you know, of course, you know, you're going to be hotboxing it most of the time. And, you know, it's just, you know, just don't be stupid. We've earned these rights, you know, and we barely have earned some of these rights. You know, they're trying to take us, they're trying to take it away from us. So let's just, you know, just don't be dumb, and, you know, don't give them a reason to point the finger at us even more. You know, like I said, they're trying to keep us in the basement already. You know, we can't have, you know, we can't smoke at events yet, and which is stupid, but just, let's just, like I said, just be safe, be, mainly is just don't smoke and drive. Drink and drive, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, but smoking and driving, like I said, you drop the ash, you drop your joint, you look down, boom, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. it's just stupid shit. Park. If you want to smoke in a car, park. Yeah. That's fine. Park in hot box, but because, you know, nothing's going to happen then, but that's just a big thing. Just know your limits and don't be stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, really? You know, try to follow all laws. You know, of course, you know, local laws too. You know, cities have imposed certain things. Like Albuquerque has different rules than Cruces has.
Yes, right. Yes.
You know, slightly different. Right. Yeah, you know, so make sure you guys are following all those laws. You know, stay safe. One thing I like to tell people is keep pepper or CBD with you on hand in case you do ingest too much cannabis.
That is a good one.
You can bring yourself down a little bit with the CBD or the pepper. I haven't tried the pepper method myself.
I've heard of it.
It's like usually the cracked pepper, you know, the full pepper. If you guys use that, usually I've been told it works. I haven't tried it myself, like I said, but the CBD I have tried and that does work. So on 420, always try to keep some CBD on hand
that
just
is
in case
a very good
you
tip.
Do consume a little bit
I
too
actually
much.
Had a little spell like that. I actually was over at Alter Ego's Grow, or, you know, they have an operation there, and they always, they're homies, shout out to them. They always invite me over just to come smoke hash rolls and stuff, so I'll smoke, and then all of a sudden there's a tray of cookies there. And they told me, it's infused, go for it, and they're delicious. Those are the dangerous ones, man. When they taste like you just want to munch them, boy, I don't know, maybe two. You know, maybe two, and maybe two and a half, because I woke up the next morning with a half in my pocket. In my jacket pocket, like a little kid. I'm just like, I stashed this?
Because I was going to take that for later. Yeah. Huh?
And so, but in the middle of the night, man, I woke up in a panic, like that panic, like, oh shit, sweating, like, what's wrong, like, what happened, like, you know. And so I'm like, oh, I'm too high, you know. It finally, because edibles, they will, like I said, peak on you. And I guess I woke up and it peaked on me, and I was like, oh shit, CBD. And I had some CBD gummies. I was like, there's the ticket. Took it. Stupidly, I went and smoked a little bong hit, you know, to calm me down. But hey, it worked. I took a bong hit and some CBD, and about 30 minutes later, I was able to set back down and, you know, actually get rid of that feeling. So that's a very good tip.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, that's something that I try, especially the people that are new to using cannabis, you know, or if this is your first 420, you know, if this is your first 420, don't take edibles from anybody, because most likely they're going to be making them the strongest edibles that you can possibly make on 420.
They don't know the dose.
Yeah. And now these days I do see certain people starting to make lower dosage things, which I love. Cause the other day, a friend came over and we had brunch. We had like a little friend brunch thing, and one of the girls brought edibles, and they were 5 milligrams each.
Yes.
Little cupcake things, man. I had like 5. Yes. Thought, you know, it was great. You know, I was like, I can enjoy this and not like and sit there like on the couch like, God damn it.
Because they're tasty. You want to eat them. So they're good. And so I've seen like gummy companies do that. Instead of 10 100s, they do 520s. You know what I'm saying? Or so it adds up to 100. But yeah, it's like it's very, or like 10 10s, they do 520. And so it's, they're cutting it down, and patients liking that, especially new, like I said, patients that are very new to the game. We've had patients come in and say, I don't take gummies a lot. So what's your lowest dose? And they always think it's the 10. We have 5s now. And and they're used to taking half of the 10. So now they take half of the 5, if anything, if they want to start with half, because they usually do want to start with half of whatever they're eating. So, but no, you're right, because edibles are getting very tasty nowadays. So they're like, they're dangerous. Just like I said, I was eating them, and I was like, oh shit. I think that's why I kept that half, because I was like, it hit me. Oh, these are edibles. Okay.
Yeah. I'll just save it for later. They're
not going to be rude. I'm not throwing it away.
You're starting to shake. You're like, okay. Yeah.
They're smoking hash rolls, and it's very, that's a very good tip to you. Like I said, no limits, and don't take edibles don't take edibles from anybody, especially not off the street. Even if your friend makes them, he don't know the dosage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So just make sure if they're edibles, get them from a dispensary.
Yeah. If you're new, you know, if you're well seasoned, like someone like us, then all day, whatever. Yeah. Make sure you keep that CBD with you too. Cause you know, we are susceptible to high dosages and stuff like that. So what's some recommendations you can give people, someone new that doesn't really know what to do on 420 this year? I mean, do you know of any events going on?
So there's a lot of events. Usually a lot of dispensaries are having events. So we're going to have some at Wax House. We're going to have a food truck out there. Munchie Mustards, I think.
Okay.
They're gonna be out there. Joseph Blanco owns that. The Blanco brothers. So they're gonna be out there. I don't know what else we're gonna have there, but we're gonna have a few things. Of course, sales. We're gonna start our 420 sales on Friday. So you know, you don't have to wait in line. You don't have to be the first in line. So if you want to come Friday night, we're gonna start our 420 sales on 419.
Cool.
So you can beat the lines.
Yeah.
And still get the savings. You know, a lot of people wait. Oh, you know, you gotta wait for 420 for this, and they want that line. No, come on in. We're gonna run it the whole weekend. Yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Those will be our. It's gonna be the 420 sales all weekend. Sassy Grass, I believe, is having an event. You know, I like to go hit up those events. Just kind of hop around. Top Crop, I think, is having an event.
Laughing Grass happening again?
Laughing, yeah. I believe so. Yes, yeah. Yes, of course. Every year.
Third Annual.
Yes, yeah. There you go. And I, like I said, Top Crop, I believe my homie Rolls by Twist. Twist will be there rolling live. So if you want some hash rolls rolled up, bring your material and he'll get you set up. But that's really what I like to do. You know, go around checking out the events. There's a lot of events. Just check out Instagram and Facebook. There are so many events. Like I said, every dispensary will be having sales. Something will be popped up there. Vendors will be popped up at dispensaries.
For businesses out there, I've been sharing events on my Instagram all week.
Yes.
Yeah, so exactly. If you guys want to send me, tag me in it, I'll share it. Sure. You know, just to let people know what's going on in the whole state. Right. So, yeah, you know.
I think I saw that my homegirl. Cool. So, yeah, my friend Brittany, I'm sure you know her. She's a rep for Incognito. She's going to be up there in Silver City, I believe. So, they're having something up there even. So, the whole state's going to be up there. You know, she's all over. But, yeah, so you'll catch her if you're over there. Go check her out. The Incognito has great products. They got really dope products, and especially that hot box. I really want one of those hot box vapes. They're really dope because, honestly, I'm getting tired of carrying the puff call around everywhere. I want something really discreet. So
small and discreet.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and she says it's awesome. It tastes great. So I'm going to take her advice and grab one. So
awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so there's a lot of events going on all around the state, Albuquerque, everything. So yeah, just go check them out. Of course, they're going to have the specials. And what I like to do, I just like to chill at home. Honestly, just get, you know.
There's a lot of good movies, you know, on that day.
Yes.
Yeah.
They always seem to put out something, like said, good movies or something. They're not dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like to chill at home. Just, I'm going to be working until 4. So, of course, come by and see me till 4. After that, you know, I'm going to go around, hopping around and go take out, you know, the Laughing Grass Festival. You know, stuff around here. And at the end of the night, probably just go to my boy's house and just chill and have a good sesh there. So
cool.
Yep.
Yeah, well, appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thanks for those tips, man.
Of course,
some people
might
be new into town and everything. So where can people find Wax House here in Cruces before we move on to the next topic?
So it's at 725 South Solano. We are actually right, if you know where Alter Ego and Casa Verde is, we are literally within a stone's throw of either of those dispensaries to the north.
Cool.
So
yeah.
So we're going north from them, and like I said, we're right across the street from the old Blakes on Solano. We're right before the canal.
Yeah.
On Solano.
Solano, it's hard to miss things. It's a very competitive area. So
yes.
Yeah, you guys are right in the midst of it. So
yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But appreciate that. Thank you. And I look forward to see, you know, what comes from, you know,
yes.
The Wax House.
So
that's pretty cool. It's a cool new little niche that I haven't seen somebody really do yet.
Yes.
So
and we are going to start producing, like, that sort of thing. We have a lab in the back. We have a lab, so we are going to start producing. We got washing machines. We got grow tent set up. We are just, that's our next phase. You know, we want to get up and running, so we got products on the shelves. And then we actually acquired the space next to us on our Summit Park store. So we sent our construction team over there to start a lounge. So we're gonna have a lounge right next door in Summit Park. So if you're there, be on the lookout for that. Roundhouse, you're gonna have a lounge now right next door. So when they get done there, then they're gonna come back and start working on the lab and everything and get that finished. So we are gonna start producing solventless rosin and diamonds and stuff like that.
Cool.
Here, probably within the next year, we'll have that up and running.
Cool.
So,
well, I look forward to seeing all the changes and all the good stuff.
Of course.
So, yeah.
So much.
Again, thank you for joining me, and let's get on to the next topic and everything. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that and everything, and thanks for the tips for 420.
Yes. Oh, thank you too.
Yeah.
That pepper and the CBD. I mean, of course, I don't ever expect to have CBD on hand, but for newbies, that's a very good tip.
100%. So we're going to go off to our next topic. You know, we got a couple left. This one, I don't know how long I'm going to spend on it, but, you know, it's really important because some companies on the East Coast have actually sued the federal government because their they don't want them to interfere with their interstate commerce. Now, when I say that, what I really mean is that they cater to a lot of out-of-state people, just like how we do here in New Mexico. We cater to a lot of Texans, and actually, majority of our out-of-state purchases are Texans.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's very rare you see from another state.
A few Colorados. Colorado and
Yeah, it's mostly Texans. So we're in the same boat. Now, the federal government has a rebuttal because this lawsuit's been going on for a little bit. I just caught wind of it this morning. And the reason why I'm talking about it is because it's very important for us, too, because it could help us with our Border Patrol issue on top of that. This could kick the federal government in the ass to kind of do something, because now we're talking about states on the East Coast. If a lot of you don't know, 70% of Americans live east of the Mississippi. So west of the Mississippi, there's only 30% of the population. So majority of the population of the nation is on that side anyway. And so if we can get the senators and the, you know, the rest of congressional people, you know, the representatives to kind of get their asses going on this, then we have more of a fight on our hands. With just little New Mexico screaming whatever, it only does so much. But once you have bigger states, bigger companies with a bigger population, on that side of the nation screaming about it, then things will start to move. And I kind of see this being something that we can attach to with that issue to kind of get the ball rolling. Because to me, from my analytical side, everything I've seen, it seems that cannabis is having such a momentum right now on the federal side that it's coming soon. I feel it. I just don't know exactly when. I want to say 420, we're going to get an announcement, guys, but I have no clue. It could be, you know, right before election happens. It could be, you know, during the summer, you know, because right now it's up to the DEA, or it could be up to Congress if they decide to put a bill in and they rocket docket that bitch through. Right, next thing you know, 2 months later, we have a bill on the president's desk, which rarely ever happens in our legislative process, especially on the federal side. Well, on the federal side, because statewide, we only get 30 and 60 days. But this is really important. And like I said, I wanted to talk about it because companies doing this is speaking a lot, because they're not even really being attacked like we are. You know, they're not like getting their stuff seized. They're just in fear because the federal government is now saying that, you guys have something called cannabis tourism is what they're calling it. And that's what we have, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and so they called it cannabis tourism, the DOJ. And so that alerts me because, okay, maybe they're all working together on this now, because we have cannabis tourism here in New Mexico from Texas. And Massachusetts, that's where this lawsuit's coming from. They have the same thing. Most of their customers come from out of state. And if you guys don't know, if you're from another country, I guess, most of the states on the East Coast are small compared to the ones on the West. You know, so it's very easy to, you know, run into another state, you know, within an hour, 45 minutes sometimes on that side. I've never been, but all my military buddies that are from there tell me, you know,
how... Never been to the far East Coast, right? I think Oklahoma is the furthest east I've been, honestly.
I've been to Tennessee before. We did some training there before I went to Germany, and that was fun. But, you know, it was nothing like the rest of the East Coast areas.
I've been this way.
I haven't been to that New England area, I guess is what I'm saying. And so there's some really big companies that are behind this lawsuit. I don't know if I have a name here. I do, actually. It's led by a multi-state operator, as you guys know, MSO. Verano Holdings, a Massachusetts-based cannabis business, Canna Provisions, and Wiseacre Farm. It's a weird word. I think it's someone's last name, but I think it's Wiseacre Farm, along with Trevit CEO, Gaiesi Sellers. So I guess they're being represented by, you know, a certain law firm, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. That was not really important to you guys, I know. But these are the companies that are behind this lawsuit. The federal government did say that, you know, you guys have cannabis tourism going on. That alerts me because they could easily say the same for us.
It's true.
And that's that could be the reason why the Border Patrol is doing this, because something like this, because Massachusetts or all these companies aren't just going to sue the federal government for no reason. Like, something's going on. Right. And so I'm thinking maybe the federal government did send them something, you know, and that could have triggered it. So it seems that they're working together. The weird thing about it is Border Patrol is under Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a part of DOJ.
Yes.
Yeah, but the FBI, the DEA, they're all part of DOJ. So they still talk to each other. I'm kind of wondering, is Homeland Security and DOJ kind of working together on this thing now too? Yeah, the same topic. So now we're going to see more. And that's scary.
We need to watch where, like I said, those seizures may be happening on the East Coast. And then come on, what's the coincidence on that?
Yeah.
You know, come on.
Exactly.
You're right.
And so, you know, this alerts me and alarms me, because we can not only get fucked over because of our Border Patrol checks, but now we might be under threat from the federal government because we have a what they're calling a cannabis tourism going on, because people from out of state are coming here to use cannabis and going out. Which, to me, that sounds like bullshit, because, like, well, now you're telling me I can't go to other states and do certain things?
And true. Like, that's true. And I was going to say, how long has this been, this cannabis tourism been happening in California?
Colorado.
So Washington, have Oregon. They done this? Like, get to them. I haven't heard of nothing like that. Yeah. So, you know, you're probably right. It's the government. I'm not, you know, I can't say nothing, I shouldn't say nothing, but it's, you know, it sounds like, you know, something's going on. You know?
Yeah, and this could be, you know, someone, you know, politically wise, just hates cannabis this much, there's so much reefer madness in their mind.
It has a little bit of pull.
Yeah, it has some pull. Maybe this is their last term or whatever, and they just want to go out with a bang. I have no clue.
Right.
We'll figure out in time, eventually, we'll figure out why this is happening and why all of these things are kind of falling in place in the timeline that they are. Because I found out about this today, but it looks like the lawsuit's been in, I think, a few weeks now.
Okay.
And they had
this is the first time I heard about it.
Yeah, me too. So, like, this is, I sent it to a couple people this morning, and I was like, okay, this is interesting, because this could affect us as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. I'm not too sure where they're at with the lawsuit, mm-hmm. other than that response from the federal government. I do know that they did ask for a hearing.
Yes.
So I'll keep you guys updated and everything like that. That's just really all the information I have on this right now. I haven't read the lawsuit or anything exactly what it says, but they did ask for a hearing so that way they can kind of say their statements and everything and blah, blah, blah.
Yes, they want to be heard.
Yeah, if New Mexico and the businesses here were smart, we would start getting with these companies on the East Coast to kind of try to work together on this, to try to figure out a better way. Because now you have East Coast and West working on this in conjunction. And I feel that that's more power behind that. Because now Senator Cory Booker, he actually is aware of this. And as you guys know, he's very pro-cannabis and he fights for it too. He's part of the Cannabis Caucus that's over in D.C. I saw an article where he was actually alerted, and he was like, I didn't know this was going on, but now I'm interested.
Okay.
So we have more senators who aren't even our representatives for the state. Now they're interested in our issue. So we can see some help there. Yeah, that's all we need.
Yes.
And something like this lawsuit, he could probably catch wind of it too and be like, okay, what's going on? You know, so hopefully we can fix something.
Rocket scientists. We already can see something's going on.
Yeah, right? The pattern's starting to make sense.
Yes.
You know, like, okay, I see a pattern now. Mm-hmm. You know, so once I get more information on this, and I'm going to look into this exact thing more. It's just I found this morning when I was making the guide.
Yeah.
And so I'll get more information on this, and you guys, in time, I'll report it, and we'll be back on the show. But that's literally really much all I have on this. I just hope something good comes from it.
Me too.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it could something bad could come from it, but like I said, it just seems like they're fishing.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to stir something up, just like you said. Someone might be, like I said, with some pull, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And you know, there wasn't much to say about that one because it's so new.
Yeah.
It's such a new thing that's going on, but it's so important that we know about this because, like I said, this can and may and who knows will affect us.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully for the better. So that's all I have for that one, guys. I'm gonna move on to this next one, and it's kind of similar to the last one because this is the DEA reschedule or deschedule update. Because as you guys know, the DEA is figuring out, I don't know why it's taking so long.
Right.
They're trying to figure out if we should reschedule, deschedule, or do nothing at all when it comes to cannabis, because DEA is in charge of what goes on the scheduling and what level they're on. So it's literally up to the DEA if cannabis should be on there at all. As you guys know, Human and Health Services, they recommend a Schedule 3. Schedule 3 still keeps it under a criminal penalty for possession of recreational use. It's only going to be for medical use, so essentially to be like an over-the-counter medication. Mm-hmm. Some people are okay with that, but that really interferes with the current models that the states have already kind of created.
Yes.
And that's one reason why I am a firm believer that if we do go the Schedule 3 route, we'll be stuck with two different industries.
Yes.
The 280E, and we'll have the Schedule 3.
Yes.
Because certain states' models, they're just going to lose millions, if not billions of dollars, if they just go
the whole industry, maybe.
Yeah, you know, it'll just collapse the whole industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll have to be pure medically. And I get it. It's good. We'll have it for medical purposes, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't answer the question. That doesn't answer the question for the legal industries that we've already set up. And that's my concern.
It's a step back, in my opinion.
Me too. 100%. It's a step back. Don't get me wrong, if this was maybe year 2000, 2008, maybe even 2010, this would be a good move.
I agree.
But we went a different route. We went legalization through the states one by one, and now they have full-on adult use. You don't need a medical cannabis card. You don't have to go into the, you know, medicine aisle of a store, and you don't have to worry about getting punished through your state, at least, for recreational use.
Yes.
Doing Schedule 3, that kind of changes all that. Now, there is a lot of benefits when it comes to Schedule 3. Don't get me wrong. You can do banking. There's less restrictions. You know, you'll be able to, you know, deduct taxes, all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the user, you're kind of screwed.
Yes.
Yeah, the consumer is screwed. So when it comes to the border checks, even the companies will be okay to go through as long as they have their paperwork. If they're on the Schedule 3 side, if they're on the 280E side, they can still probably get fucked with.
Which is so dumb. It's like, come on. Just pick one or the other. Yeah. I think my belief is we should do nothing.
Yes.
Yeah. For right now.
Yeah.
For right now, leave it. Because honestly, another reason why if that happens, I believe the quality is going to go. Like, and a lot of these farms are going to have to close because there's not going to be such a demand for it.
Yeah.
You know, there's still going to be demand, but obviously, I would say half. It's going to cut almost half. Like you said, about half of the consumers that are going to be able to have access to it. You know, and the quality will go down, and because it's just what will happen.
Yeah.
I just know. You know.
Yeah.
As being in the industry, if you just can see the trends and the topics and what will happen if certain things happen. So,
because the states already say, you know, fuck your federal laws, we're going to do what we want. So who's going to stop the states from doing that once this happens?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, you know, just because it's Schedule 3 doesn't mean that the states are going to abide by that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be some who might not, you know, because we can see how rebellious the state, individual states can be.
Oh,
very, very, until it becomes the normal. And the reason why I brought this up is yesterday during a press briefing, at the time of recording anyway, during a press briefing for the White House, the press secretary was asked a question about the timeline for cannabis being rescheduled or descheduled, and she responded with, that is actually in the hands of the DOJ now. If some people got confused and laughed at her because she was wrong, but the DEA does fall under the DOJ, as well as other people, like, you know, ATF falls under the DOJ, FBI falls under the DOJ, and I believe the Marshal Services falls under the DOJ?
I think so, because they can go wherever, like you said.
Yeah, the jurisdiction. Yeah, they have a wide jurisdiction.
Yes.
So I believe they're under the DOJ.
Yes.
Pretty much anything that has to do with the police force kind of thing, for the most part, is under DOJ. Of course, you have, you know, the weird one, the Homeland Security, which they have the Coast Guard and the Border Patrol, which is just kind of random, because the Coast Guard is military.
Mm-hmm.
So the Coast Guard is literally the only entity that's not under DOD, which is Department of Defense.
Yes.
And that's, you know, Army, Marines, Air Force, etc. So that's what is weird about Coast Guard, is they're not a part of any of those. They're
military, but...
Yeah, the Department of Homeland Security's military, is essentially. So, but yes, the DEA does fall under the DOJ, so she wasn't wrong, she was just using the overall umbrella term. So it's in the DOJ's hand at this point. It's their decision what's going to happen. I think there's just more pressure being put on the federal government now. Like we said, the last story that we talked about, you know, with the lawsuit against the federal government. And now we have more of the media asking questions to our representatives, Cory Booker, about if he knew about the Border Patrol issue. And now we have, you know, the press asking the press secretary, you know, what's going on with the timeline. Mm-hmm. So it seems like they're kind of being pressured more by everybody, which is great.
Yes,
you know, what we need to do.
Yes.
So don't stop, is what I'm saying. Keep that shit up.
Because they're just going to sit there and do nothing until the time runs out, until their allotted time. They're just going to sit there.
Yeah. So what it seems to me is that people are just becoming very impatient with the DEA. Even last week, the past few weeks, some of our congressional representatives have been sending letters either to Biden himself, saying that he's not doing enough, you know, to, you know, go on his promise about the cannabis thing that he has, which the Border Patrol thing is part of that.
Big thing.
Yeah, they said that, hey, this is going on, like, you're not doing what you said you're doing, you know, like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then you have other of them, you know, like, going after the DEA, saying what's taking so long. Then you have other ones going after another one, saying this and this. So we have representatives that are wanting to do something. It's just they need to know. So we need to be better at letting them know.
Yes.
Today on X, I actually tagged Cory Booker on the Border Patrol issue, and I let him know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to respond or even see it, but sure it's worth a shot.
Yeah, I'm sure it's worth a shot.
Especially
someone
on
from his team will see it.
Yeah, someone from his team will see it. And I hope, because you know I have direct information on what's going on with that, so I want my representatives to know what's going on. So maybe he can do something, and maybe they can file something. I have no clue.
Right, you don't know what they can do.
You know, go talk to somebody. Uh-huh. You know, maybe he knows somebody at DEA, kind of figure out what's going on. Who knows? You know, they have the limits of their power, but when you know somebody and you have a relationship with somebody, that makes it all the difference. Uh-huh. And that's what I'm learning with politics too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes
especially
it's who
politics.
You know.
Especially with politics.
With politics, a lot of the times it's who you know. And sometimes a politician that you could piss off in a good way could get something done for you. You're like, you didn't piss them off, but something that happened to you could piss them off. And I've seen it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I've seen it. Mm-hmm. And this is really important, this update, and what was asked to the secretary, because it just means that we're making more waves on this. And we could see something here soon. It just, to me, is kind of adding up that things are starting to funnel down, and we could get our explanation here very soon, or our results of what the DEA is going to say.
Sure.
Because this is a lot to just sit there and tell somebody and no action happens. Especially with everything I've just told you guys.
There's plenty there to go on. Like, you know, there's plenty there to work with. So they should, like I said, start to get shit done, especially when people are pressuring them, you know.
Yeah,
so.
And they work for us. So, you know, and that's one thing that they realize. Mm-hmm. So, and I'll keep all y'all updated on this as it goes on. That's really all I have for it. I wanted to update you guys on this. I do have one more thing before we leave today, and that is actually before the show started. As I said before, you know, at the very beginning, I found out that Michelle Lujan Grisham, and thank you, Gino, for letting me know this, has actually announced a special legislative session that's going to be happening in July. Now, the weird thing about special sessions is the governor has full control about what's going to be heard in the legislature, unlike a regular legislative session where she doesn't have much power or full control of what bills are heard in the legislature. For this one, she does. And usually these are very short. Sometimes they're a couple days long, sometimes a week or two long. I think the longest we had was like a month at one point or something like that. Don't quote me on that. That could be totally incorrect. But from my remembrance of my being on this earth, I've only seen it, I think, about a month long. So we could see this a couple days long. We could see it a week long. As some of you know, in 2021, cannabis became legal during a special session, and it was meant to pass cannabis. So the only reason why we have legal cannabis is because of a special session like this. The reason why I'm telling you guys about this is because there is a chance that a cannabis bill of some sort could be introduced, because the governor has said that this will be focusing on public safety. She never mentions guns, rifles, or bans or anything, but she said she will look at the bills, and if it's dealing with public safety or whatever, then she'll give it the blessing to be heard in the legislature. So that gives us a chance to add more to the program on a public safety side on certain things. Could it be give the CCD more police power, et cetera, something on that front? Now that kind of limits us on really what we can do in the bill, because it does have to focus on public safety. So keep that in mind. I just wanted you all to know about this. You're going to most likely see gun bills with this special session. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be anything, you know, really catered to cannabis, but on the off chance that there is one,
she could bring it up, like you said.
She could bring it up. You know, or the CCD can go like, hey, this is a good chance for us to address this issue that does affect public safety. Mm-hmm. And she could agree, and then a bill could be could be introduced that way. So I wanted you all to know this. That's very important that we know about this, because there is an opportunity to add something else. Again, this is going to be in July. Don't know how long the session is going to be. Don't know what's going to be in it. We'll get more information as time goes. So. With that being said, if you guys don't want to miss all the updates, make sure you like, follow, subscribe, whatever you got to do to make sure you're in the know, and I'll be there. So thank you again, Blake, for joining me. It's been great. It was a great conversation. You know, you shared a lot of great information. We had some good conversions, and I look forward to seeing what you do in the future with the industry, and to see what Wax House does.
I'll be here. Like I said, I'll be following you as well. Like I said, I really appreciate everything that you do for the industry as well. You're really making waves and doing a bunch, especially for us here in the South, for sure. So I really appreciate your hard work.
Thank you, man. Well, I really appreciate that, brother.
You got it.
Heck yeah, man.
Thanks for having me again.
Heck yeah. Appreciate it, man. I'll see you guys next week. All right. Shoots.